Well, Father, we want to thank you. What a joy to be together. It just feels right. And Lord, thank you for just keeping our focus and our heart right. So Lord, as we prepare ourselves now, just look into your word. Thank you for speaking things, just using the setting and using the examples that would just make our week just excellent in you and profound steps forward in great ways for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just before you're seated, just turn to somebody you didn't and just say, God bless you. You sounded good. Who are you? And can I put that? If you did not happen to bring your Bible, or it's still there in the bike rack, or it's in your basket of your bike, and you would like to use a Bible, please feel free. Want to encourage you, just an uplifted hand, our ushers will look for that. And also, you could go on the Wi-Fi and just check it out, the password's on the inside. Let's get our Bibles situated, shall we? And for you who are our guest here today, you are a participator now. We want you back. One of the things that's helpful, if you don't mind somewhere grabbing that instrument in front of you and filling out the connection card, our wonderful Paul Petruna will meet you at the connection table and give you a Free Hope Chapel mug, as many as your heart can hold with one hand. How's that? Says you have your favorite beverage and you'll be praying for us while you do. Well, welcome everyone. We're thrilled that you're here. And if this is in case the first time and for the possibility of hearing our sermon series, we are in the sermon series that's entitled Learning to Listen. Learning to Listen. We are wanting to learn to listen for God's voice. We want to learn to listen for God's will. And it's wonderful to be able to actually hear something where it makes sense. Isn't that great? Don't you love that when that happens? It's like the story of the elderly man who was hard of hearing. He's sitting in his recliner, and the family's having a great time, all the festivities when they gather together, the holidays. And finally, his adult kid said, here, Dad, please go get some hearing aids. We want you to participate. So he eventually did. So he comes back 3 months later to the hearing aid doctor, and he said, Mac, your hearing is 100%. Your kids must be excited. He says, well, I haven't told them. You haven't told them? He says, no, I just sit in the chair and listen, and I've changed my will three times. So sometimes it's just nice to know, isn't it? I'm opening my Bible to Romans chapter 12. This message is probably one of the most significant because it's entitled Fulfilling God's Will. It's one thing to know God's will, and that's like opening up the door and saying, wow, that's the direction. It's another thing to fulfill it, because sometimes that may not come about. We know God's will is that none should perish, all should come to him. Is that the case that everybody's going to come to him? So sometimes people just will not come. But God's will is everybody is saved. Everybody is safe. So when we look at today's message, because one thing people want to know, God's will, am I going in the right direction? Am I marrying the right person? Have I made the right decision? That everybody works in that kind of venue. And we've been looking at the fact, even from Habakkuk, how God says for you to listen, wants you to silence yourself. Remember that? Habakkuk chapter 2, 1 through 4. And that now I'm going to show you something. So be prepared if you've not seen a vision or even the possibility of God speaking to you in some maybe obscure way, but you'll know it's the Lord. You're listening to his voice and then journaling those four steps. But today we're taking a look at something, and that is with a heart-to-heart question to all of us, are we about our Father's business? Remember when Jesus, he was 12 years of age, whoa, and he told his parents, why are you kind of looking for me? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Would that be a question that we could just kind of make a decision, are we doing that? Because sometimes people, when they look for the will of the Lord, what we're looking for, we've already made our mind up, but we're waiting for the peace of God. I'm going to do this, but Lord, I'd sure like to have your peace. So it's going to be important for us. And when people take a look at decisions, are we making decisions based on what will make us successful? What would make us happy? What if the Lord has a better situation for you? Just want to throw that out there. It's worth considering, at least offering to say, Lord, what is it that you have for me? I think when we get to heaven, right, we will never say, I just trusted God way too much. In fact, sometimes we don't really linger in trusting the Lord. So in our time together now, let me just assume you have heard some things from God. Your mind and heart is settled on some things. Therefore, I want to just encourage you now with some practical steps, because the battle on whether you're going to fulfill the will of God is right between your ears. You're going to consider a reason, is this the Lord and should I go through with it? I'm not quite sure. If you've ever sat down with somebody and saying, well, I'm just waiting for the perfect setting and I'll step in there and do that. Most often you might hear individuals say, boy, you just don't understand the environment that I'm at. I just financially, I can't do that right now. So money's made the decision, right? Remember, Jesus said you can't serve God and wealth. So it wasn't God that made the decision for you, whether you could buy some Christmas gifts this year. It was money that said you can't or cannot. It's an important thing to reason with. If you have enough money, you'll have peace in your heart. Well, you didn't even ask God about that. So sometimes people come along and just say, well, you don't know the crummy relationship. I mean, I just can't go and do those things. Well, when would it be right? So when the Lord starts to work, the choice to believe in God is always right, regardless of the outcome. I choose to believe the Lord. So if we're looking into the mirror, or if we're looking at the impossible situation that's facing us, we'll probably say, I guess I'm not going to go in that direction, though we may have actually heard from the Lord. Therefore, we're letting obstacles come in. Well, I've asked you to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, because we looked this over last time we were together. Point number one, prayer, a living sacrifice. Begin by getting your heart ready to do the Lord's will. Let's take a look, because as I shared my story, early on I was asking people as a younger man, how do you know the God's will? And I really wasn't able to comprehend what they were trying to say. I'm sure it was good advice. I just didn't get it. Nobody to me knew. And I came across this passage. So as I'm sharing now with you, I'm sharing what I value, maybe not my valuables, but what I value in hearing about the will of God. Let's look at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's take a look here. Prayer. It's always important when we come along and we just know we need to control our thoughts, because we're not too confident we're doing God's will. We're not too confident, though we have some direction, things start to look not too pleasant and we back off. Controlling your thoughts are so important, because you could be facing that trial of your faith. We all want a testimony, right? A glorious testimony. Nobody wants a trial. Let me have the testimony, tell you what I've gone through and what God is doing. But it's important to know this. I'm confident, and you are too. God wants you to overcome. God wants you to win. You need at times, even when you're stepping into what you know God's wanting you to do, you might even want to say, hey, who can help me here? What I have found in facing challenging situations, when I am exhausted, when I am discouraged, when those times happen, and I say, you know what, I'm just going to back off, I'm not going to do it, most everybody in my past situation would say, I think you should. I think you just need to stop. Nobody comes along and says, wow, let's just press in a little bit. What are you going through? What I find is the opinions, and everybody has one, right? They'll help me to prepare for the worst. You're right. This thing sucks and you're going to be in trouble. So I'd back off. What? But I feel like God may have led me in some directions. So that's why we pray. Lord, I really do want to do your will. I'm not sure about it now because what I'm facing looks so impossible. Looks impossible. And when I do, I look to Hebrews chapter 12. Can you find the book of Hebrews with me? Let's go to the right. Go to the right. It's almost to the book of Revelation. You'll see 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews chapter 12. Now, Hebrews 12 is right after Hebrews 11. Obvious. But Hebrews 11 is the hero's hall of faith. These are some amazing storylines of people who have gained some great victories. Some of them had their bodies cut in half, but their faith didn't waver. And now it's speaking to us, verse 1 of Hebrews 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. And that was the eye catcher. Consider Jesus when I get discouraged and think, am I going in the right direction? For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And I have been there numerous times. Weary and discouraged in my soul. Listen, discouragement is the leukemia of the soul. If you've ever hit discouragement, you don't have enough wind to blow the fuzz off a peanut. But you look to Jesus. You look to Jesus, the author and finisher. That's why you go back to prayer. You and I have enjoyed some times when we were encouraging one another. Pick up the half an hour with God in prayer sheet. At 30 minutes will save your bacon to say, I don't think I really heard from the Lord. I'm not sure now because it's looking so bleak. Spend that time with the Lord. God, I'm still willing to do what you're asking me to do. And sometimes it's just so minuscule, but we're hanging in there. Remember, the battle is between your ears. It's in your head. Look to Jesus and consider him, it's saying. Look to him. Says, for the joy set before him, he endured the pain and suffering on the cross. And if you've been in our discipleship program, you know the joy set before him is talking about you. He was looking at you. One day you would accept him as Savior and Lord. One day that someone's going to accept me, and I'm going to endure the pain and suffering. I'm doing it for the joy you set before me. Glory to God. So if you have that direction from the Lord, and now people are bringing discouraging thoughts, or it looks very obvious you might not continue on, remember, look to Jesus. Number two, the word, renew my mind. Seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. Boy, that's so important when we take a look at something like this. Have you ever gotten to that point where I'm going to start reading the Bible and let the Word impact me? It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Sometimes you just know you've got some direction from God, but Lord, I'd like to back it up with a scripture. Here's a couple of them. Joshua 1:8-9. It's on your overhead. Look at that. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Not just success, good success. Verse 9 says, have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And those references are also in the New Testament. So when there are times that you just feel like, well, I don't know, I just don't know, God says, dwell on the word. Get into the book. Matter of fact, turn to somebody and say, get into the book, man. Just go ahead, just by faith. Get into the book. Yeah, that's sound advice. Get into the book. That's what Bible means, by the way. Biblios, book. The book. There's none like it. So when we take a look here, it's important. Keep yourself encouraged, and you will be amazed how you'll press through those stop points because the Lord spoke something to you. You're being patient to wait for him. Just because something doesn't transpire quickly doesn't mean God's not working while you're waiting. Very important. Sometimes we just need to toughen ourselves up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, check it out on the screen. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not a pleasant verse I go out there and say, hey, guess what? Let's all press into the hardships, because we're usually praying to get out, because I want a testimony. I don't want the trial, huh? But as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you must endure hardship. God starts to show you something. And I'll tell you, works of darkness are going to try to lay it out to you to keep you back from seeing the outcome. You're called to be an overcomer. God wants to use your life to impress upon others, we can't do life without God, who made everything. Therefore, it's important. If you were to enjoy enduring for a long haul, it's helpful to kind of remember just mere soldiers. As a soldier, they get an order. They're not going to wait around to see how their emotions feel about it, right? you just do it. You just do it. And then you start to see what God is going to do. I have another one that's very helpful. It's Isaiah 54:17, provided on the screen for you. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now, you take a look at that scripture for a little bit. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. There's going to be some things that will come against you, and that just feel like, okay, maybe I heard wrong. Maybe I'm doing wrong. But it's important for you to recognize those things will not prosper. Press into what you feel in your heart, God's wanting you to do and how he wants you to live for him. No weapon. And every voice, every tongue that rises up against you, it actually says you'll condemn. We talked about those three voices that come at you. It's God's voice. It's demonic voices also come to all of us. And your voice, which is always so self-serving, isn't it? It's like, I demand. Anyway. But God has something great for you. But when there is a condemning voice, and I know that voice, and that's not the heart of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. You might have to protect your loved ones the same way. Sweetie, come on over here. That's not God. It's not God. You don't need to dwell on that anymore. Let's just move on and let's rebuke that sucker. Any voice that comes against you. That's why coming in small groups, in spirit-filled settings, where you start to become honest with each other, haven't you found honesty's just a liberator? Usually we'll say, well, that little voice, you better not tell anybody you're struggling here because they're going to think you're a wimp. So just tough it out. You heard the pastor, tough it out. So no, I won't tell anybody. Hallelujah, I'm feeling good. And you're struggling. Let somebody know. Let somebody know. Because they'll take authority over that voice. This is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. That verse said, that's your inheritance in Jesus. And your righteousness is of God. I like that part. I need that. Do I have any right to claim victory in situations? I don't. Not without Jesus, but in Jesus, I can do all things. And you can too. You've heard from the Lord. The battle's going on in the thoughts. And you're feeling like you're wavering. Consider Jesus. Hang into the word. And number three, reflection. Prove the good and acceptable. Take into account providential circumstances. So what I mean by that is sometimes you just say, wow, it feels like the Lord's kind of moving things around. You might be here today and say, you know, how did I end up at Hope Chapel? Maybe that was the Lord. And no, it was my friend. They brought me. No. Consider the providential circumstances. Because the Lord starts to work. And it so happens to be on, you can hear his voice. You can walk in the will of God and fulfill it. It's important. So we take a look at that, Jeremiah 29:12-13. We've looked at that. Write that down. You'll enjoy that in your life group. 29:12-13 of Jeremiah. God says, then you shall call upon me and shall go and pray to me, and I will answer you. Sometimes we just feel we can continue to go on without the will of God. Well, that's you can. Or if you're needing some specifics, go to him. There is so much persuasive, deceptive, luring people out there that when God speaks to you, they'll try to sway you or me to go a little away from what you know God's wanting you to do. Those things happen. Satan is a master deceiver. Bible talks about him, especially in this last hour. So with discernment by praying and considering God and his word, you know that you belong to the Lord. So when you need to become something for God or do something, make sure that it's not just a random opinion, because that opinion may steer you away from what God has for you. Again, the battle's going on in the mind. Father knows best. Father knows. Matter of fact, that's a good one. Just turn to somebody and say, Father knows best. Go ahead, let him know. Yeah. Consider him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Nothing's happening. Feel like my life's over. Man, consider Jesus. What would happen if he just said, I don't want to face the crucifixion? And then all my chums of 12 run and leave me. It's more than I could bear. Consider him, lest you become weary and you stop. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. There's a battle. There's a battle. So usually when I take a look at that through prayer to God, through study of the word, and then reflection, I start to land on some good conclusions. That's how I have worked, seeking out the will of God. Helps to get counsel, but I'll usually take about 2 or 3 days, same pursuit. I'm not going to jump into something. And I still have that peace of God. Then I usually pursue it, that matter, big or small. And it really does work out for me. I think what pleases Father God is that I at least gave him opportunity to speak. You know, it's like a conference table. You know, Lord, maybe you might have something to say here too. It's awesome. Try it. I'm confident God really wants to tell you what he has for you. And it's far better than you could ever imagine. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart the things that God has prepared for those who love him. 2 Corinthians 2:9. So it has to come. Verse 10 of that same chapter comes by the Holy Spirit. But God has revealed them to you by his Holy Spirit. So when we take a look, let's take a look at a couple of practical things here on reflection. Letter A, God's will for your life is mostly moral. Mostly moral. What I mean by that is that, well, most Christians want to get something from God kind of like Google Maps. You know, you got an audible and tells you what area to turn, you know. But most decisions involve a moral will. God has just that moral balance, staying in the confines, and we anguish over God's will over specific areas. God's already hit his word, and just you know what's right and wrong. It's just obvious, but we anguish over that because we're trying to go in a direction, and we're hoping to get peace about that. But if we're really going to be honest about God's word and about the moral will of God, even your upbringing, you just know, yeah, I shouldn't do that. I just shouldn't do that. So most of your life is mostly moral. Moral compass, you'll always get the true north. Letter B, there's a great freedom within God's will. The case in point is Adam and Eve before they fell and blew it, disobeyed. They had liberty to enjoy every tree in the garden, every tree, except one. And as long as they didn't touch that one tree or eat that one tree, they enjoyed liberty in the moral will of God. Have fun. Have fun. Here's another example. Marrying. What person should I marry? Often comes. Let me share some of that. You might want to look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. So go Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts. Romans. And you'll see 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So if you are a Christ follower and the person you're looking to marry is not, then the answer is no. That's part of that moral law that's actually very clear in Scripture. So let's see what the Word says about that. That's helpful. I hope it will be helpful to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look very clearly with verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That yoke means like a team of oxen harnessed up together, going in the same direction. It says, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And verse 15 is very clear. And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Wow. So if somebody wants to come along and say, I'm looking for Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright. Well, are they a believer? You're a Christ follower. Are they a Christian too? I mean, one that's... And if they are, then you just go on to the next little list that you would look over. Look over the itinerary of your wish list for somebody. What's the dynamics? Their personality, their temperament. How about their family origin? The raw chemistry. Are they attractive to you when you look at them? I mean, that's kind of nice. Helps. So there's nothing in Scripture that just says, well, there's just one Mr. Wright and just one Mrs. Wright for you. I'm sorry to just disappoint so many of you who enjoy the Hallmark Channel movie plotline. There's nothing in Scripture that says there's just one person for everybody. But that one guideline I just showed you, you can see that beautiful liberty within the will of God. Pick. As long as they're a believer. I like that, don't you? I knew you would. Sometimes even with a job, somebody says, well, I don't have a job. I'm looking for that right job. Well, it's helpful just to work. Find some work. Some of you are laughing. I mean, just helpful to get out there and just even help Pastor Paul and sweep the sidewalk. I mean, God will open doors. It's amazing how that is. And somebody will see you and say, man, that's a man that will humble himself and wonder what he'll do if I give him the six-figure job. Yeah. Who knows? But it's interesting. So I just want to say there's freedom within the will of God as you know it. I would just say, enjoy the trees. Enjoy the trees. But when you know there's one that you shouldn't, don't go there. You know that. And finally, letter C, caution with right language, but not the right relationship. I want to just share Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7 as we, I believe it's a very helpful passage of Scripture. In Matthew chapter 7, let's go to, it's verse 21 to 23. But let's just start at verse 15. Matthew 7, verse 15. Caution about right language, but yeah, there's not a right relationship going on. Verse 15, just wanted to highlight something because some people will tell you, you can't judge, don't judge. Here's what Jesus does provide. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. Look at verse 20. Therefore, by their fruit you will know them. So, dear friends, just a little side note, just in case somebody said, you can't judge, don't go judge it. You're right. Tell them, I'm not the judge. There's only one judge. I'm not it. Thank you for helping me. But you just tell them, I am a fruit inspector. And I'm looking for some good stuff here. All right? All right. Everybody get that? All right. Let's look at verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. If you're writing notes for your life group, write these 2 points. This person's missing a lifestyle. Missing a lifestyle. The other one, this person's missing a relationship. So let's take a look just for a moment here. It says here in verse 23, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice. And the word practice, lawlessness. We all sin. Man, we got stuff that we try to get victory over. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about a habitual situation. I heard somebody say, well, a Christian is someone who sin tries to cling to. But a non-Christian is somebody that goes clinging to sin. There's a difference. Okay. So when we take a look here, we have a person that has a confession. And it's interesting because Jesus says they're going to say to me, Lord, Lord. And whenever there's a repeated word, that means there's a hyper excitement. This person is very serious about whatever they think their relationship is to the Lord. But they're saying the right thing. They're just not submitted to the authority of God. So we're talking about hanging in there with the will of God. And don't cheapen things because some subliminal message comes from somebody and says, nah, come on over here. It's important. The other one, missing relationship. Many will say, Lord, Lord, and describe what they have done. Some pretty lofty things. It's not refuted, but it is interesting. The Lord says, I will say to them, I never knew you. Now, that's an important thing, and I certainly don't want that to happen. And we know God knows everyone's name, so that's not it. That's not it. It has to do with like a disciple who will trust the Lord, who will look to him and have a dependency upon God. There's a relationship that's going on. That's what's talked about here. Everybody knows who the President of the United States is. We know him by facial recognition. We know what his voice sounds like. We may have met him in one of his restaurant resorts, but we can't say we have a relationship with him. Might say, I know him, but he'll say, I don't know you. Same with God. Well, how do you get to have God know you? By receiving him. John 1:11 says, but as many as received Jesus, to them God gives them the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm going to pause, and it's been a great series. But for you who are saying, man, I want to make sure the Lord knows me. I want to start my relationship. I'm going to invite you to close your Bibles now. And I want to lead you in a prayer. As you close your eyes, recognize this. What we're praying is, Lord, I want to present my life to you. And not just a portion of it. You're needing to make big decisions. You'd like to have God go with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So this prayer goes like this, and let's all pray it out loud, because maybe, just maybe, not only for you, but for the person next to you, to make that declaration. Lord, I want you to know me. I want to receive you now. Let's pray this prayer out loud. It goes, Dear Jesus, I believe in you, that you are the Savior of the world. And this very day, I've made up my mind. I'm giving you my life. Everything about me, it now belongs to you. All my joys, all my failures, I bring it to you now. Remove all my failings, all my sin, all my guilt, all my shame. That is not me anymore. My life is in Jesus. And I thank you, Almighty God, for staying in my life forever. Now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Not what I want. I'm submitted to your will. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. We're going to sing this song. And if you prayed that prayer, well, in the comfort of your own home or wherever you're at, would you go online and fill out the connection card? Let us know you made your decision for Jesus. It says in Luke's gospel, chapter 15, when one person turns their life over to God, all the angels in heaven rejoice. Isn't that amazing? There's a party going on. Yeah. It's an amazing thing, the power of the cross. You've received the Lord. We'd like to know about that. Let's sing this song together, shall we, before we depart. So glad that you're here today. Really, I just feel that little chuckle of God, you know, just kind of like, wow, some miracles and some barriers and some blockades just came tumbling down. And so heaven opens up, and I'm glad for you. I'm glad for me. And if you made something of even a step toward God, he'll come rushing on in. So be prepared for that. Don't worry. Don't worry that somehow he's going to wreck your life. He's going to make it better. He's going to make it better. So we do have a Bible now that you're a Christian pamphlet kind of a thing. We just want to encourage you, but keep coming back. Let the Lord just do a work. There are people where you live and where you work and where you study that just need to know Jesus. And you're the only thing now some people will ever know, the love of God or the power of God. I want to thank you for bringing your friends and family. So glad. So now let me just pray a blessing upon each and every one of you and watch the hand of God come upon you this week. Spend that time with the Lord. He's anxious to tell you about himself and what he has for you. So Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. You made an amazing journey one Christmas morning to come. Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, for so many of us making that declaration, Jesus, we embrace you. Jesus, we accept you. Now, Almighty God, move all obstacles out of all of our lives that would somehow keep us back from an intimate quality interaction with you, Lord. Almost see it like how you walked with Adam one time in the cool of the garden. Do it with us on the shoreline. Be with us in our conversation. Help us in our reading materials. Lord, when you speak to us, that maybe that form of entertainment is not where you're at. Father, we want to go where your spirit is and enjoy life forevermore. So prosper each person. Give them victory on all sides and enrich their life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everyone. Thanks for coming. Let's thank the Lord. And we'll see you next week.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.